Welcome to it. We call it the 9 o'clock stretch. Welcome to the Bob Rose Show. Hour number four, it is 9:07 as we stretch it out. Oh, feels good. Time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. We begin with your top stories. President Trump announcing the Golden Dome. President Reagan 2.0. Like Star Wars, but the Golden Dome could become a reality before Trump finishes this term. That is the hope. And a guy that can make things happen, President Trump, it very well could be a reality. So we're hoping for that. Governor DeSantis signs 8 bills. He's been busy. And hurricane season getting fired up. It's only 10 days away. It officially starts June the 1st. Already had some action coming off the African coast. They assure us it's not going to really develop. It's never going to be a threat to U.S. mainland, including Florida. Not to worry, but it serves as a reminder that, yes, once again, here comes the season. And the more prepared you are, the less anxious you will be in the event that something does actually bubble up and starts coming our way. I have to, I have to apologize. I don't have everything on every issue. I can't cover all things all the time. But I apologize when I'm on top of something, but maybe I could have gone a little bit further. And I'll give you the case in point right here. January 6th. Now, I did say from the get-go that it absolutely was a setup, and I couldn't tell you whether it's completely all, you know, FBI, but it was FBI associated, maybe other some other intel folks. You know, were there regular folks involved? Yeah, absolutely. But as far as wanting it to be a problem, turning it into a problem was mostly the work, I believe, of the FBI and their associates. Okay? But one of the glaring things that I have not talked about enough, and neither has most of the media, if at all, do you remember they found a pipe bomb? Do you remember that? They found a pipe bomb. Now, here's why this is, well, it should always be interesting, but here's why it's very interesting in this particular case. The FBI has the ability to surveil, you know, anywhere, almost any time, on very short notice. And we know they were present January 6th. We know that they went back through video and tracked people down. I mean, people totally unassociated with any groups or anything else, like literally like grandparents, tracked them down that were there that day and arrested them and treated them like the Taliban. Treated them like terrorists. But they couldn't identify, even though somebody popped up on video, they could never identify who left behind a bomb. That's a lot more threatening than somebody kicking in a glass window. Not that that's okay, but come on. It's a bomb. Saw a piece in Revolver, thought it was really well done. Of all the unanswered questions surrounding January 6th, none are more explosive or more ignored than the so-called DNC and RNC pipe bomb plot. And we can see why. After all, we're supposed to believe that a coordinated terror attempt happened in the most surveilled city in America. Yet, the FBI, with its treasure trove of resources and massive surveillance dragnet, still can't track down a suspect who was caught on tape several times. Yeah, that's a hard pill for most Americans to swallow. But I don't think most Americans have had the information kind of reminding them on a regular basis. That's what I am attempting to do right now. Meanwhile, the FBI had no trouble identifying and prosecuting peaceful Trump supporters. Some of them were elderly MAGA grandmas strolling through the Capitol, escorted by police, yet they were hunted down and charged like ISIS terrorists. However, a would-be bomber captured on video? That dude just vanished into thin air, huh? It's a story that never added up, and one that many in the media and government clearly hoped would fade into the background. But it hasn't. and it won't. The good news is that there are some big new developments in the pipe bomb case. But let's look back at the recent events in January of 2025 that led us here. Thanks to persistent digging and detailed reporting, major cracks have formed in the official narrative. And with the recent release of the Loudermilk Massey House Administration report, there is now government confirmation of what independent outlets like Revolver had long pointed out. And so we've got people now in charge that hopefully are going to get very, very serious about this issue. You know, like the head of the FBI, Kash Patel, Deputy Bongino, Ed Martin. Yes, they are maybe finally going to get some answers. What would happen if this person, once identified, is connected either casually or directly to, let's say, a government agency like the FBI? How will that be dealt with? How effectively will they be in able to remove maybe several agents and remove them for good and hopefully put them up on charges and they go to prison? We're talking about pipe bombs. Will we ever get really all the answers? Will it all unfold? I think that maybe the pipe bomb thing is the key. So let's just say, for argument's sake, they're able to identify this person. They're able to talk to this person before they have a bad accident. You know what I mean? And they find out that, yeah, there is a connection there. There is a connection. What will the bad guys, the entrenched, whoever they may be, the shadowy government, what will they say? Will they just fall down on their sword and admit that the whole J6 thing really was an operation of rogue parts of the FBI? Leading how far up the chain? Who's been in the news recently who would like to get rid of 47? Oh, the former director of the FBI, James Comey. Huh. Death threat? How far is a stretch? How far is that from, placement of pipe bombs? Not that he would ever do it himself. He doesn't have that level of courage on any level. Now, for a big boy, he sure is pretty much a spineless wuss. In a recent interview, podcaster Benny Johnson, investigative journalist Julie Kelly revealed a major development involving Associate Director Attorney General Ed Martin. There's an update that puts pipe bomb saga back in the spotlight. According to Kelly, Ed Martin has personally reviewed the footage and confirmed the existence of new evidence and suspects. And he's indicated that prosecutions are coming. And perhaps most damning of all, that the Biden DOJ sat on it for 4 years. Really? Wow. Maybe we are finally getting closer to what I thought all along. 9:16 on the Bob Rose Show. We're about 30 minutes away from things that make you smile. More headlines coming up. Happy Hump Day, Trump Day. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. It's a 9 o'clock stretch. It's a happy hump day, Trump day. It's 9:20. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Governor DeSantis signing into law 8 bills. Hurricane season starts June 1st. That's 10 days away. The Biden cancer cover up. You know, what would Hillary Clinton say? What would she say? At this point, what difference does it make? Yeah. But except in this case, Well, it only serves to tell you that the Democrats lied to you, and their bedfellows are most of the mainstream media. ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, you get the idea. All ran cover. You know, recently, Jake Tapper, he's done everything from apologize to call other people out, all this, cover up, because he's trying to sell a book. Jake Tapper knows maybe as much or more than anybody else does in terms of how bad President Biden was. He hosted the debate. He hosted the debate. It was Jake Tapper. I forgot all about that. Yeah. But now it's time to write a book. A couple years late, if you actually want to make a difference. But again, these things serve as little benchmarks. Now, most of us, if you're paying attention, if you listen to talk radio, none of this is new. None of this is outrageous to us at all. In fact, we're kind of yawn. We're bored by it. Oh, really? The president was suffering from, you know, low capacity mentally? Really? Oh, and they hit it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have eyes. We have ears. We saw. We heard. President, you know, Joe Biden couldn't string a sentence together. I mean, it was really bad. But the media kept trying to say, kept convincing us, and Mayorkas, I mean, this guy, he deserves some kind. Is there a Nobel Prize for the most believable liar? Well, I don't even know if that would be the case. Lying and so trying to believe himself. I don't know, some kind of award, because he really could just straight face just tell lies. He did it about the border. He did it about what kind of shape Joe Biden was in. So anyway, that whole thing, of course they knew about the cancer. I'd bet you on that. And is it some form of aggressive thing that just popped up or got worse recently? Yeah, I can believe that. But don't say it wasn't there. And don't say they didn't screen him because, well, he didn't qualify because he's over 70 now. They're saying, you know, don't bother screening. Really? The sitting president of the United States? Uh-huh. They go over his health with a fine-tooth comb. And why would you do that? Because what if you're the guy that missed something? Most doctors, especially if they get elevated to that position, they have a legacy too, you know? Oh, that was the White House doctor that missed the cancer, huh? They screen these guys for everything. So anyway, more lies, more cover-ups, more from the Democrat Party, and I'm sure more on the way. Yeah. What do we do? What do we think about the whole Sean Diddy Combs thing, the whole trial? I mean, it's, what's the word, skeevy? The whole thing's kind of skeevy and nasty and, ew, I'll never look at baby oil the same way, that's for sure. Special agent involved in Diddy's Miami home raid testifies in the rapper's sex trafficking trial. And, you know, of course, because this is a family-friendly show, I mean, how deep can you get into any of this? But I think the big thing is that they have to really make a case for him breaking the law for trafficking. Where do you draw that line? Now, he paid. My understanding is he would like pay performers, in quotes here, I think both male and female, and invite them to come and partay. Who doesn't want to party? Back in the day, everybody knew, oh, he threw these outrageous parties. Now, some people may have known, you know, at a certain point, at a certain time, or in a certain area, things took a definitely a dark turn. I don't know who knew what. But you knew there had to be some people that had a pretty good idea of it. But again, would they know? Like, are these people being coerced? Are they being drugged? And if they come back again, what would be the motivation if you already knew what you were in for? Now, some have cited that that motivation could be fear that he was going to release video that he took of you the first time you were there, and let's just say your mama wouldn't like it. So, of course, then he leverages it and says, oh, come on back. Come on, we'll have some fun this time. I won't videotape anything. I'll give you this, the only copy I have, whatever. And what do? People get played all the time. But I think it's going to be more difficult to prosecute than it should be. And I guess a lot of it will depend on, you know, what his defense lawyers can come up with. If they can try to separate him away from some of these things that were going on. But I don't know how they can, because there's multiple. And then there's a multiple amount of witnesses. And put him right there. I don't know. There's a part of it that goes, ew, I don't want to know anymore. Then there's another part that you say, how widespread is this? Is this the one creepy, rich perv? Or is there a lot of pervs that are doing similar things? If only they would all hang themselves in jail, right? Well, maybe some did. You'll have to ask Dan Bongino about that. Yeah, he believes that Epstein did. Did he hang himself? With help? Did he have help? Oh, let me get this straight. Epstein, first of all, he lulled the guards to sleep. Then he somehow unwired or made the cameras disabled. Then he was able to get a hold of something and have the time to rig it up so that he could then asphyxiate himself to death. Okay. All right. Are you buying it? Because I could sell you some stuff. 928 on the Bob Rose Show, 15 minutes away from things that make you smile. More headlines, information, it's all on the way. The Bob Rose Show podcast, available wherever you normally download your podcast. Click on subscribe. You'll never miss a minute of the show. 97.3, The Sky. Happy Hump Day, Trump Day. Here we are, 9:37 on the Bob Rose Show. I appreciate you hanging out with me. Very much so. Don't forget the Bob Rose Show podcast, available wherever you normally get your podcast. Just click on subscribe. You'll never miss a minute of the show. It is that easy. It's so easy. Thank you, Linda Ronstadt. All right. What do we have going on? Elon Musk, American hero. The guy is a patriot. In this world that we live in today, with this kind of political divide and pure hate coming from the left, this guy had nothing to gain and everything to lose. And he stepped up anyway. I think even he was a bit taken back by the kinds of things that he heard and that he saw. I'm sure he figured, oh, there's going to be some people who are going to be unhappy. First of all, that I even have a relationship or friendship with Trump. But then to step up and try to help cut expenses and cost and fraud and waste in government. That's a heroic thing. But I think he was blown away by what the results were. I mean, you talk about the attack dogs out to get him. And then anybody who owned a Tesla was fair game to these radical lefties, even though it wasn't that long ago they dreamed of owning a Tesla. They were hero worshiping Elon Musk. But oh no. Once you went not to the dark side, but to the orange side. Which, by the way, as a side note, have you noticed President Trump looks pretty darn presidential? His hair looks better than it used to. And he doesn't have that orange skin. He looks good. Darn good. You imagine anybody really at his age looking that good and having any kind of pressure on him. But back to Elon Musk. He said in an interview yesterday he plans to remain the leader of the electric vehicle giant in the years ahead. He was interviewed by Bloomberg at the Qatar Economic Forum in Doha. Said he's going to remain at Tesla. No doubt about it. He said he was asked whether he plans to stay at Tesla for the next 5 years, whether he's any doubts about it. He says, well, no, unless I die, he said laughingly. I can't be CEO if I'm dead. His comments come following his involvement with the Trump administration as the public leader of Doge. The role raised concerns among some investors about Musk's focus on Tesla, as well as his other businesses like SpaceX, which contributed to a slide in Tesla stock alongside soft demand for his EVs. Musk said that Tesla has already turned around and that while its weakest market is Europe, demand is strong everywhere else. I wonder where their demand is coming from. I think I can take a pretty wild guess. I bet you that demand is coming from Trump supporters. I've heard more talk and more chatter about the possibility of buying a Tesla than I've ever heard, and from people that were not all that excited about the idea of electric car. Now, like many of us, you know, we began to learn more and more about the idea behind it, how it works, and what great principles it's based on, and what kind of performance. I think that's what's most exciting, the kind of performance you can get from these motors. But you can't sell the idea that it's magic to most of the people. They know you have to plug it in. They know it costs money to fill the tank, even if that tank is a big battery. Musk said that Starlink, the satellite-based internet service operated by SpaceX, may go public at some point in the future, but said there's no rush to do so. I'm not an expert, but that is something I would be interested in. I am, you know, looking at the possibility of getting that service. I don't know where they're at in terms of how immediate they're able to do it. I know there was quite a lag for some time, but the people I've talked to, my understanding is they're mostly happy with the service that it provides. The company has expanded rapidly around the world, focusing on tapping into emerging markets and limited internet infrastructure, as well as showing its utility in disaster-stricken areas and war zones. Yeah, how soon they forget. You know, when FEMA, under Biden, really dropped the ball, say, you know, like helping people in North Carolina, especially if they saw a Trump flag, oh, man. Boy, those people are going to die out there in the wilderness. It's so sick, isn't it? But yet, Musk steps up and says, oh, I'm going to provide the service free for everybody in the area and help with communications, which helps to get more help on the way, helps to restore other infrastructures in a more immediate way. The guy's a flipping hero. And I saw just a little clip of part of that interview. And he still looks good, and he still has that upbeat, can-do-it personality, but there's something just a little bit. He's taken a punch or two. You know what I mean? He's taken a punch or two. I think there's kind of a part of him that is really kind of a combination of sad and sick. Like, all I wanted to do was help. This is a nation deep in debt. I understand how that can be a very bad factor moving forward. He just wanted to help, and he was helping. It is going to be a tall order to really get things truly back on track. I mean, you talk about draining the swamp. I mean, yeah, the swamp be like the size of six states. That's the kind of task we're talking about now, as we see how entrenched, how these NGOs were acting as money laundering things. And then yet, the Democrats still try to defend some of the spending. Ridiculous. Well, I hope that Elon Musk won't stray too far away, but I hope that he gets his company back to where it belongs being, and I hope people take the opportunities, you know, to invest in that. And people going around like scratching cars and damaging cars, well, some even lighting them on fire. That is that, I mean, it's the epitome of the absolute sick coward. After being a prominent political backer and donor to President Donald Trump's campaign, Musk said that he plans to do a lot less political spending in the future, adding, "I think I've done enough." It was when and how he said that. "I think I've done enough." Now, will the haters back off? We'll see. We will see. Caught five. Five still on the loose. We're talking about the fifth of 10 inmates that escaped and fled New Orleans jail. They've been this one, Corey Boyd, 19 years old, been captured, accused of killing Brandon Fees during a car burglary in 2024. And he'll be transported to a secure facility. The 10 inmates escaped the Orleans Parish Correctional Facility on Friday night, which was recorded on the jail's surveillance footage. Authorities said they crawled through a hole hidden behind a toilet, scaled, and then hopped the jail's barbed wire fence and ran across the highway into a neighborhood before changing clothes. Sterling Williams, 33, a maintenance worker at the Orleans Parish Sheriff's Office, was arrested Tuesday and charged with 10 counts of principled to simple escape and malfeasance in office, according to Louisiana Attorney General Liz Merle's office. Williams said an inmate threatened to shank him if he refused to help with a coordinated escape. Was that enough of a threat? Or was there something else, some other possible agreement? I don't know. I do know this. I need some upbeat positivity. Bring it. It's called Things That Make You Smile. Upbeat, positive, non-political thoughts. You can do it. Come on, come on. Count your blessings kind of a moment. 877-975-9825. Call in now, please, for Things That Make You Smile. Brought to you by Transformation Dentistry and Dr. Samantha Annis. That's next on 97.3 The Sky. Oh, it's that time. Time for you to call in with your upbeat, positive, non-political thoughts. We call it Things That Make You Smile. 877-975-9825. And Things That Make You Smile is brought to you by Transformation Dentistry and Dr. Samantha Annis. Once again, call in now. 877-975-9825. And good morning, Sam. What's making you smile?
Well, Bob, I'm hoping I can make somebody else smile today. Just in case, Bobby Lynn Conley, if you're listening, I found your Ohio Edison debit card, and it will be destroyed, so you don't have to worry about it.
Oh, there you go. That'd probably make somebody smile. Yeah. Oh, I got it. That reminds me. I got to get a replacement for one of mine. Somebody tried to do a little skimmeroni, apparently, on it. And that doesn't make me smile. The fact they caught them, though, and didn't cost me anything, I guess that would make me smile. All right. Good morning. Who's this? No? Okay. kind of flying by the seat of our pants here today, and I guess it makes me smile that we have made it through nearly 4 hours that I could never do without my work buddy, Greg, who couldn't make it today, but hopefully he'll be in tomorrow. But, yeah, it makes me smile. Oh, this is the one. This makes me smile. NFL owners are approving a proposal to allow players to compete in flag football at the 2028 Summer Olympics. Really? I find that interesting. Could that be the future at some point of the NFL? If we keep moving forward in the way we have with the heavy penalties for hitting, I'm not saying that that's not a good idea. I'm just saying this could be where we're headed. I guess that doesn't really make me smile either, does it? The idea of it being showcased, at least flag football in the Olympics, does sound interesting, though. All right. We'll take that as a thing that makes me smile. Other than that, just feel thoroughly blessed. Living here in the Sunshine State, and no shortage of sunshine. Although, a chance for getting a little something-something later on today, and then, the cold front will be on top of us. That means 2 to 3 degrees and a little less humidity. Hey, be happy. Take what you can get. Coming up next, it's the Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. Hang on. Time now for the Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. Secretary of State Marco Rubio shut down criticisms from liberal Senator Chris Van Hoser, as I call him, during a Senate hearing. Van Hoser says, hey, you and I served in Congress for 15 years, and I have to tell you directly and personally that I regret voting for you for Secretary of State. Really? Rubio says, well, your regret for voting for me confirms I'm doing a good job. Bam! Then Rubio went on and used the hearing to describe President Donald Trump's migration strategy, which, of course, makes total and logical sense. Take that, Van Hoser. Yeah, no doubt about it. He was smoking mad. Good for Secretary of State Marco Rubio, though. And that's the Smoking Gun. The Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. I'm Bob Rose. God bless you and your family. Have a great, safe day. See ya.